Weekly Warp Pipe.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the Weekly Warp Pipe. What's up, Che? The NES Attic, right?
That's the name.
That's the name.
I can't change it now.
It's too late. You should have been the NES Attic.
Attic.
Because you're in an attic, right?
That may have made more sense.
Possibly. But you named your channel because you love NES games.
That's right. I do love NES games. You know what I love more than NES games, Russ?
I don't know.
When you beat it and you get a really awesome ending.
That is true. Yes. That is our topic today. We're going to be diving into the best NES endings on the console itself. We're breaking down our top 10 list of what we think are pretty, I guess, satisfying endings, so to say.
That's a great word, satisfying.
Right, because we're still in NES, so you may not get a whole bunch of story with the game itself, but it's certainly a big jump up from Atari, right?
Right.
With those ending games, there was like no ending, right? It just, the screen would end, right? And you'd be done.
That's it. Game over.
Game
over. But some NES games had terrible endings, like misspelled words, like congladuration.
Right. That could be another episode, right?
Maybe terrible endings. We'll do endings. That one next time.
So, but yeah, I mean, we want to break down, I guess, the ones that stand out that are satisfying, creative, kind of give you that nostalgia feeling. You're spending maybe all weekend playing this game in hopes to see that end screen. Maybe, you know, maybe you're renting the game and you only had it till Sunday at 4 o'clock where you had to return it to the video store.
Right.
And you needed to see that ending. Maybe your friends at the playground were telling you about the ending, but you needed to see it for yourself.
That's right. You didn't believe them.
Right, because on the playground, you can make up anything.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I beat this game and easy
peasy. I beat Super Mario Brothers. He turns into an elephant at the end and stomps on Bowser.
Right. You're like, I don't know. I didn't beat it, so maybe it's true. We want to maybe break down some criteria we're using in choosing these games. Selecting the games, narrative impact on the story itself. That's unfolding while you're playing.
Does it elaborate on that story?
Right. Even though it's an NES game, you know, maybe they'll have some story going on with that. Any emotional resonance. Like I said, you're sinking a lot of time and effort into this, and you're hoping that it's going to be satisfying at the end. And you're not just like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is
you don't want a black screen with the end.
Right. Right. Just something so simple after you worked and worked hard to get this ending. Or maybe you use Game Genie. I don't know. In order to get that ending.
Never know.
That could be an option. But yeah, I broke down 10 games. I did put little YouTube links, so we might be able to show you the ending if you're watching here on YouTube, but as a refresher.
I would imagine that we'll at least match on one.
Yes, I'm sure, for sure. We did reach out to you guys as well, which we'll discuss later in the episode, which ones you thought were significant NES endings that had to be talked about.
I'll be curious to see what the listeners say. They always have such good ideas.
Right, yeah. I mean, with some of these here, I will say not every game on my list is a game I personally beat.
Right.
But I may have watched a game play of the ending, or seen a friend play it, and I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, I enjoyed that ending there.
On the opposite side, on my list, every game I have listed, I've at least beaten once. So
there you go. That was part of your criteria.
That's right. Yeah, it was. Well, because I wanted to be able to experience it, you know, so hopefully, I think most of them, with the exception of one, I remember pretty well.
Okay. I mean, we'll dive into those details, those memories we have of maybe when we were playing this and how we felt once we completed the game. So hope you guys enjoy. We'll jump off into this list here. And first one on my list probably is on Jay's list. I'm going with Contra on NES.
Surprisingly, not on my list.
Not on the list. Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm going to let you talk and then I'll give you my thoughts.
Sure, sure. So Contra is a game most people know about. You're playing as some army guys, right, in the jungle, and you're fighting against, what is it, the Red
Falcon? The Red Falcon.
Right. And you get to the ending, and it's very, very obviously aliens, right?
That's right.
You're in the last boss here.
You just killed the heart.
You can see, like, the facehuggers, basically. The facehuggers. You're shooting this heart. Fairly easy boss, I will say, for the ending once you know kind of what to do. All right. You got to do is kind of do some management of the creatures, facehuggers from, like, coming from the top and the bottom. But if you got the 30 live code, I mean, you could just run straight up there, put your gun up, and just rapid fire as fast as you can.
Honestly, if you have spread, it's going to be pretty easy, too.
Yes, that would be helpful as well. Or, you know, playing two player, you could have one person take care of the face huggers while you're shooting the heart. But definitely a fun game to play co-op or alone. And first time through, you know, if you didn't know the Contra code, you only had 3 lives. So you had to get really good at this game.
That's right.
In order to beat it. Because with 3 lives, it's like, oh, it's a lot of levels.
Well, see, here's the thing, Russ. If you just use the 3 lives, eventually you can gain more lives in the game.
Right, with getting points, you get your extra life and all that. So, but once you blow up that heart there, you hear that classic end music of completing the level, and then it fades out and it shows the island you are on, and you escape in a helicopter while the island explodes.
That's right.
In the nick of time. Super classic, like 80s action movie ending.
And it gives you, like, a little rundown of, like, what you just did, which is kind of cool.
Right. Congratulations. You've destroyed the vile Red Falcon and saved the universe. Consider yourself a hero.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
And it's got some killer music, too. That's one thing with a lot of these games. The tracks. The ending track has to slap.
That's right. Because they need you to stick around to mispronounce all these names.
Right.
Like... S. Umizakai.
I like seeing, like, the American people on here be like, J. Dave, or, like, whatever.
Bill Smith.
Right. But certainly an accomplishment. And, you know, again, hearing the music, that it kind of uplifts you, and you're like, yeah, I did do a good job. I put a lot of time into that, and it was a pretty cool ending, and it had a cool explosion.
Yeah.
And I thought it stood out for sure for quite some time in my mind, beating Contra. And it's always fun to go through again and complete this game, you know, every either couple months or
I think
at least once a year.
This is actually one of the most memorable parts, this little tune right here. Yeah, I love that tune at the end.
Nice.
Okay,
yeah, it seals it in. That's good.
I'm going to be completely contradictory of myself because one of the games on my list has what I'm going to complain about. I feel like for a lot, you know, I've beat Contra 1,000 times.
Okay.
That's probably exaggerating, but probably at least 50. So I'm going to use a word that I don't necessarily mean, but, like, as hard as it is, well, let me rephrase that. As hard as I thought it was as a kid, I don't think it's as bad as an adult. I feel like you deserved a little bit longer of a cutscene than just the thing exploding and the helicopter flying off. I mean, I like all the credits, I like all the music and mm-hmm. the Konami jingle at the end, like, all that's good, but
like you're saying, maybe one more extra scene, maybe them like landing back home, or
Maybe like the heart exploding and then jumping on the helicopter and then it flying off. Just give me just a little bit more.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Not much. I'm not asking for much. Just a fraction more.
Just a little bit.
But anyway, so that's why I didn't make my list. But I'm going to transition into a game that also has a very short ending that did make my list. This and the funny thing about this game is the ending is extremely similar to the ending is almost identical to that. That game is Jaws.
Nice.
But I love
it is a quick one.
But the one thing I do love is after you stab him with the ship, you get to watch him float to the bottom of the sea, and then a plane flies by and it's over.
Literally, but, like 3 seconds. Yeah,
it's literally probably equally as long. But I just like the fact that you get to see Jaws sink to the bottom.
Right. Yeah, let's see some gameplay here.
Yeah, you're gonna have to just there it is, right there.
You spear him with the boat.
Boom, done. He sinks.
Hits the bottom.
Plane flies off.
No music yet.
No, I don't even know if there is any music.
And then just disappears. Then the music starts.
So that's kind of cool.
So you get a nice sunset in the Caribbean. Because I think this is based off of Jaws 3.
Yeah.
Where it's in the Caribbean. So the plane flies off into the distance. The end. Cue the music.
But if they didn't show Jaws sinking, this would not be on my list.
Right. Like what you were saying almost with Contra, you needed that a little bit more. So you get kind of two scenes.
That's right.
You get the death of Jaws, and then you get the escape. Whereas in Contra, we didn't see the death of the heart.
The heart. We need to see the heart explode.
Escaping. So we needed that one more.
That's it.
I mean, I guess the heart is exploding while you're shooting it.
But it's not a cutscene. To something at the end.
Right. Maybe us like jumping to the chopper.
Maybe jumping through the nasty heart guts into the chopper.
Get to the chopper.
Get through the heart guts to the chopper.
And I will say with Jaws, once you learn how to play this game, you can beat it probably in, I don't know, 10 minutes maybe.
10 minutes if you're really, really good. I'm not really good, so I'm more of a 15 to 20 minute kind of guy.
Because it's all about leveling up your boat, and you need to go to each dock. So you come across, go to one dock, cash in your conch shells, then return to the other dock on the other side. You get another level up, repeat it, go to the other dock. Then when you're leveled up enough, you're able to take out Jaws in the water to then get to the cutscene on the boat to then stab him.
Did I tell you the one thing that would have made Jaws better or perfect in my eyes, Russ? Do you remember what I told you?
Maybe, no, I don't think I do.
If they made the drops your choice.
Oh, I see.
Because if I have 40 conch shells going from this port to this port, I don't want to stop. I want to get there and cash those conch shells in before I end up getting hit by a jellyfish and dying.
Right, or an unexpected bonus round then, and you're losing your flow now.
Yeah, I just want to get there, cash in, go back to the other one, and then when I'm ready for more conch shells, then I'll dive.
Right.
Dive should be optional. It should be like, dive, yes or no? No.
Escape.
Escape, yeah, and then, you know, I think that'd have been perfect. Anyway, what's your next game?
Moving on, I chose the sequel one because I felt like it was a little bit more added
to the original one.
And that one is Simon's Quest, Castlevania 2.
On the list. For the same reasons you're talking about.
With the first one, it's just like one scene, right? Ending or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What I do like about Simon's Quest is depending how fast you beat this game, you get a different ending. So if you took too long, you get this black and white scene here at the grave. The battle has
consummated.
Now peace.
And serenity have been restored. To Transylvania.
They really draw it out too.
And the people are free of
Dracula's curse.
Forever. The end.
But if you do beat it quicker,
get some nice blue sky,
nice color ending, you see Simon there, so that makes you want to play the game again and possibly beat it quicker.
Why is he bowing at Dracula's grave? Does he respect him or something? Like, what is this? Why isn't he pissing on it or spitting on it?
Although the confrontation between Simon and Dracula has concluded, Simon couldn't
survive his injuries, his fatal wounds. So he makes it to the grave, but then he dies too.
And then what do you got? Another one.
I think he survives the last one.
So now you have almost like a sunset. Yes, yeah, he's at the grave.
Like a lot of orange in the sky.
Yeah.
Two creepy trees.
So you get slightly different things in each ending here.
Yeah, which makes it really cool for replay. And because it is like a time-based game, it encourages you to go back and play it.
Right.
Oh, weird. Is this the best ending? And so now the sky is purple, and you see Dracula's hand come out of the ground.
Leaves it.
I don't know if I've ever beat it fast enough to see that.
I don't think I did either. So that leaves you open for Castlevania 3. Even though this is only one screen, again, we go back to some of the criteria where the music fits good for an ending.
Mm-hmm. But it gives you a lot of text to read that like you were saying, right. Like you've invested in this mission, this quest. And then now you get to know what finally happened.
Right. Exactly.
How fast you beat it.
Yeah. And then, like we said, if you're at the schoolyard, maybe one of your other friends beat it. I beat it. It had a orange sky. Yours was black and white.
Oh, yeah. He's like, no, remember when Dracula's hand comes out at the end? You're like, wait, what?
You're like, I didn't see that. It took 10 hours to beat it.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. I think it stands out in the books there for that reason.
Yep. I agree. Glad that we agree on that. All right. You ready for my next one, Russ?
Yes.
This one's going to come to no shock to anybody. If you know anything about me, you know one of my favorite games is Batman.
On my list as well.
Love how even though Batman doesn't kill people, he definitely kills somebody on this. He punches Joker in the face. You see Joker fall down the tower, hit the ground. His little laugh box goes off.
I mean, it follows through what the movie did, the Batman movie.
Which I think makes it so rad. And that music. You can even see the Joker fall.
Right. I mean, that's a pretty dramatic scene there. You get lots of cutscenes with this one here.
It gets like closer and closer to his dead body.
Right. You can see the Joker laying there. And then you kind of get a closer of him on the ground. Again, if you've seen the Tim Burton movie,
now you see his dead face
and you're like, oh, okay. And the sprites are great in this.
Like it even shows his weird like upper lip, how it was like indented almost, you know?
Right.
Love Batman. Love the ending. Love the game. Love all of it.
Yeah, certainly good. That music. Let it kick in.
So, Russ, the first time I heard this music after not hearing it for like 20 something years.
Yeah.
I was just like flooded back with like emotion. Like I got chill bumps in my arms now just thinking about like how, like if it wasn't for Batman, I would not even be sitting here with you today. Because it was in my brain that I thought, I've never beat Batman. I want to get a Nintendo and beat it. And that's the whole reason I'm here. Batman. On the NES.
There you go. Yeah, it's certainly one I rented a lot growing up. I never got to beat it back in the day, so I could only dream of what the ending could be.
Right.
But I'm happy to see that, you know, it did follow the story where it's interesting where a lot of the levels aren't exactly
right
to what the Tim Burton movie was.
Right.
But there were pieces. And the ending still fit to what they were telling for the story there.
Yeah.
And again, we were treated to plenty of scenes depicting that ending. Not just, it could have just been, you know, one scene. You see Batman and punching the Joker, and it could have been text.
Yeah.
Saying, and the Joker fell off the thing and got them saved.
Yeah. Like, I really feel like that was like like a really, like that ending, you feel like you got a reward getting to watch all that after beating it. You know, like right. It was nice and long and drawn out, and you know, you're usually jacked up after that last Joker fight because it's so dang hard. And then like you're like, oh, take a breather and watch this cool ending.
Absolutely.
Like I'm pretty sure there is an episode of James and Mike Monday, and Mike's like, I think they beat this game. They beat something. It might have been Castlevania, but I think it was this one. And Mike's like, appreciate the ending. Appreciate the ending. So I just like, I don't know. I love that.
Sweet. Well, I'll jump on to one of mine. Since Batman was already chosen, this could be very similar. I can imagine this is probably number one on many people's list.
Mm-hmm.
It's lower on my list. I think it's just because it came into my head quicker. And I know a lot of people are going to mention a few of these on their list when you talk about NES endings, because some of the criteria, you know, we're talking about is story,
right?
Story driven. You want to get that conclusion. And what better NES game is than Ninja Gaiden?
Ooh, on my list.
Because that has so many cuts. There's like YouTube videos of just the cutscenes of this game, and that takes like 40 minutes to watch or so.
Yeah.
So certainly going through the deep story of this game, of what's happening, you finally beat Jacko, and you get treated to multiple cutscenes. We can't watch the whole thing because it's about 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
But you got Ryu there holding his dad, and he, you know, he's dying essentially.
Dude, and when then, I beat, you get to see the whole like tower cave in.
Yeah. Just collapsing. I mean, that's a big staple, I think, for a lot of NES games, with like the last level always crumbles to rubble.
Yeah. I beat this game on July 4th.
Oh, nice.
I gained my independence from this game.
So then you're meeting up with the lady again. Oh, a little romance, little smooching.
Yeah. They could have made her hair more feminine.
I don't even know your name. Her hairdo reminds me of, I forget her name, from Blade Runner.
It reminds me of Bread.
Bread.
So she has a big yeast roll sitting on her head.
So then, yeah, so here we go. So then it wraps up, and it kicks in with that music, that upbeat music, and it cuts through.
If you see that ending, you truly have earned it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I do like this, how they have little images from the cutscenes throughout you were playing, and then it gives you the credits, artworks, so-and-so did this.
Yeah, very, very cool ending.
And I'm
sure, you know, 5 minutes, like, you get a ton.
Right. And I'm sure 2 and 3, Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, I almost lumped all those in together. They all have really great stories and endings. So, like, earlier, Russ was talking about, like, you know, like, emotional investment in this game. This game's hard as nails, as all of you know. So, like, when you finally do beat it, you're like, hell yeah, I get to watch a sweet ending.
And I do like this kind of reminds me of almost... I was watching a behind the scenes thing with Predator, the movie Predator,
mm-hmm.
where they almost implement it like a, when you see a play and everyone comes out and kind of takes their bow, where in Predator, after the ending, they have the actors kind of like smile at the camera and it says their name.
Yeah.
I felt like with this, it almost mimics that, because it's kind of going through some scenes that you've seen during the game, and you're kind of rewatching that, and you're like, oh yeah, that was the part when I was at the cabin, and oh, there's the sword, and so you're kind of remembering your experience you just had with this game.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right, my next one. This might be on your list, Russ. Mario 3.
It was. Yep, that was on there as well,
dude. Mario 3. So I made a top 10 and a top 20 list, and I put Mario 3 as number 11, which I got a lot of hate for. I think it was because I just wasn't ready to come back to that. There were so many games I didn't know about as a kid that I was like more in love with at the time when I made those videos.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the greatest things about the ending of Mario 3 is just that music is just so good. There's like this little, I don't even know, like some kind of crazy drum sound. It almost sounds like Caribbean or something. I don't know how to describe it, Russ. Maybe you can help me.
This part or after? Probably after.
After.
Yeah. Well, you get through the room once you beat Bowser and Peach is there.
And then the other thing that I like about this is the little joke here, our princess in another castle. And then she's like, oh, just kidding or whatever. And then it's kind of like Super Mario World where it shows all the enemies at the end.
Yes.
But this music that's coming up, it's like, it's almost like Jamaican or something. I don't know how to describe it, but it just sounds so cool. I love the curtain. Because it starts out with the curtain in the game.
Right, where it's almost like you're watching a play.
It's a
right?
play.
That's the curtain.
Yeah, it's a play. The curtain's drawn. But listen to this. I want to hear those drums.
So it's going through all the worlds you played. World 3, the Waterland. Again, reflecting back on everything you just experienced and went through. And you get to see some of the power-ups, the Tanuki suit.
Right here, listen. Wait, I thought it was coming up.
One more bar.
You know the part I'm talking about?
I think so. I mean, it's great music. It's
turn
fantastic.
Turn it up just a touch.
Sure. Here we go. Rock out, everyone.
That right there. Bum, bada, bum.
It's like a steel drum.
Yeah, it's so sick. I love it. That bump, bada, bump. Something about that just makes me so happy.
And so it goes through all the levels. Your curtain drops back down.
The end.
The end.
What a great ending.
And I will say, when I beat this game, they cut it there. But I probably left mine on that screen for like 20 minutes hearing that music.
You probably couldn't believe you did it.
And you're just like, oh, it's so good. And it just keeps playing, you know, until you hit power on the... You almost don't want to shut it off.
Right.
You work so hard just to beat that game.
That music is so freaking iconic. It's so just gets me. So I want to go play Mario 3 right now.
Yeah. Again, that's what I say. A lot of these games on the list, you have to have a fantastic end theme. If you fail at that, no matter what your cutscene is, your text or whatever, I feel like it doesn't hit as well.
Yeah. That's like the final impression you're getting, you know, as the game is going off. It's like, oh man, so good. All right, what you got next, Russ?
I got Mega Man 1.
Oh.
So I went with Mega Man 1 because I do enjoy the progression. Again, this is almost similar to how with Super Mario Brothers 3, you're going back through all the levels that you complete it. With after you beat Dr. Wily, you're walking back home, right?
Oh, you know what's funny, Russ? I put Mega Man 2 because I was thinking this was the ending for Mega Man 2.
Now, I did look at Mega Man 2, and Mega Man 2 just has a static image of him moving, and you see the background change.
Oh, okay. So this is him walking home.
But this one is more
like
actually
him
walking.
It's like you see the winter and fall and stuff like that.
Right. So
okay. So we actually do have another match. I just put the wrong Mega Man because this is the ending I was thinking of.
Has ended the evil domination of Dr. Wily and restored the world to peace. However, the never-ending battle continues until all destructive forces are defeated. Fight, Rockman, for everlasting peace.
That's right.
Rockman, if you're in Europe
or
Japan.
Japan.
So
here he goes. He's running.
Just off, and it's the credits are rolling, and you got the music going, and it's just him walking back home. He just saved the world, defeated everyone, and it's so peaceful. And I love that, you know, it changes. The sky is changing. You can see the sun setting. And then he shadows. You don't see what is happening. He's kind of casted in the shadow.
He took his clothes off.
His armor's off, so he's just in his regular robot boy clothes, I guess.
I'm a robot,
I thought that was
Dad.
I'm a real boy.
You know what? No, no. Mine is Mega Man 2. This isn't the same one.
Okay, so you don't
I chose Mega Man 2.
We'll watch that one after then.
So I was right. Okay, I was starting to get confused.
Yeah, I thought this one was interesting because he's centers? Walking back home.
World Trade Centers?
Maybe. I mean, it's a city. Generic
city.
Oh, come
on. Oh, come on. That's got to be the World Trade Centers.
And he gets home. He got Roll.
And then he jumps really high.
Presented by Capcom.
Yeah, that's a great ending. Let's see Mega Man 2, though, because that's the one that I chose. I was like, wait, did I choose wrong? No, I did not choose wrong. Because this is the one where he's like facing forward and the background kind of changes. He's taking steps, maybe?
Very similar, yes.
Yeah, he's taking steps. There it is. That's because I remember I said fall, like the leaves falling. I love that.
So this has the same concept, right? It's showing he's traveling great distances, and that's what I get out of this.
But
he's
I love this music so much better. I feel like it's almost like a year walk home because he's walking through all the seasons.
Right.
This dude went a long way. And that music is just so good.
It's like heartfelt and...
How would you describe this music?
I would say...
Somber?
Yeah, like he's just put his heart and soul into defending the world, and he finally completed his quest so he can finally rest easy. And that's what you're getting. Like, it's building up and, like, drawn out. And then it just shows he leaves his helmet on the grass. He did his duty, and now he needs to rest. And then it kicks in.
So good. I love that ending. And then that... Dude. Okay, yeah, that is... That was... That's my preferred Mega Man ending. But I'm glad we got two of them. That's cool.
Similar, but different. But they both have their strong points for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, I dig it.
What you got next, buddy?
Let's see. Going down my list here. I got 1, 2, 3, 4 more to go.
Me too. A wonderful match on any of them.
Since we're matching out a few here. I chose this next one. Lots of story in this game. So, of course, you're going to want...
I already know we're matching.
Quite a long ending on this one. We'll skip around to it. Will we have a match? I don't know. It's this little game where you're on an island to save your uncle called Star Tropics.
On the list. But I'm glad that you can remember it because this is the one I remembered it being really good, but I don't remember a thing about it except seeing your uncle again.
There's a lot. Yeah, I was kind of skimming through it. But again, this is a huge story. You know, if you never played Star Tropics before, it plays similar to like
Zelda
meets almost even like a Final Fantasy, I would say, with
it's
like
so good
RPG elements and lots of information because you're going to town getting more clues about what's going on. Your uncle was kidnapped and there's aliens, so there's a lot to take in, and you've invested hours and hours into this game. So
you have the note at home, right, Russ?
Yeah, I have it came with a paper note that essentially you couldn't get any further in the game if you didn't have the password on the note.
I have mine framed on the wall.
Oh,
that's
nice.
How much I love Star Tropics.
All right, so you finish on an alien spaceship. So once you defeat the boss, you're left back into the water. And I guess he swims for quite a while.
Jeez, no sharks
and drowns, and that's the ending.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
But don't worry, your dolphin friend brings you back to shore.
Flipper! It's Zipper Surly.
Kicking the music. Definitely good music, catchy too. And so it kind of brings you back to the island that you had started your adventure on. And you get to see your uncle once again. He's like, yeah, he's hanging out with the chief.
Corcola.
Congratulations. So then you find these alien kids, I guess, that were in the cubes.
Those are hobbits.
They look like hobbits.
That's Zelda.
Yeah. But so much dialogue. You get your credit roll. We'll listen to this track for a little bit here, too. Not as upbeat, right? But still...
Kind of somber.
somber. You feel that sense of completion.
I like how it shows the enemies at the end. That's kind of cool.
Right. So you fast forward a little bit. So again, you get your little like roll recall here.
You get a really good reward for this game.
So you get some of the boss battles that you fought, your submarine when you're cruising around. Mike throwing his yo-yo.
That a big octopus? Like, that's going to do anything.
There's your dolphin friends. Yeah, I definitely like the games that do this, where you get to look back on your adventure and see those scenes.
Some Simon's Quest going on right there. He's looking at the grave with the trees and the purple sky.
Some bats.
Oh, dude. Oh, wow. There's a ghost. He later becomes Simon Belmont. This is his origin story.
So, yeah, it goes through that. The freaking note.
The freaking notes in it. 747 right MHC.
With the water. Wait, you had the physical note.
Wow, that's so cool.
Your bird. So, yeah, it goes through a whole bunch.
Stormtrooper.
And then you get Mike laughing on the island. He's got his yo-yo. And it just says Nintendo.
What a great, great, great ending to a great, great, great game.
Yeah. When are they doing the remake to this one? I want to just do what you did with Link's Awakening on the Switch to this game. How hard is it?
Are you ready for my next one?
Yeah, yeah.
Metroid.
That's on the list.
I knew it would be.
That's my number one for the list.
Metroid, because this whole time you're playing as this hero, and at the end you find out if you get it, beat it fast enough, you find out it's a girl. And if you beat it really fast, you get to see her in her bikini.
That's true.
And Samus is a bad A, so she's freaking armed to the teeth. She's awesome.
Yeah, again, this comes back to Simon's Quest, where depending how fast you beat this game, you're rewarded differently.
Mm-hmm.
Great, you fulfilled your mission. We see peace in space, but it may be invaded by the other Metroid. And what did they say? I missed it. Pray for a true peace in space. And then you see how Samus turns away in shame because it took so long for you to beat the game.
That's right. She's embarrassed of you.
Imagine that. You're working on this game for 12, 15 hours. And then you're like, what is this? Samus turned away. And again, you're talking at the school ground and you're like, what? Mine didn't do that.
You've shamed Samus.
Right. If you do it a little bit faster, you're like, okay, what am I getting? You see her flashing, her suit's flashing. You get a little like wave fist of the bump. Arm there, fist bump. So the progression goes on, and then you'll be able to get her with her like leotard on waving. And then if you beat it, I think within.
Well, she takes her helmet off on one, right? Just her helmet.
Let's see, where was it? Did they skip that one?
I don't know. I thought she just took her helmet off, revealing her woman hair.
But yeah, you get her in the bikini if I think it's under 2 hours or something.
The old Justin Bailey.
And then you just get a credit roll, essentially. What do you think of the music track?
Fitting. I like it.
Not too much, not too upbeat, but
it's a little upbeat,
a little bit.
It fits with the Metroid music, though,
right? Because throughout the game, you're listening to a lot of like, I wouldn't say scary music, but it has the bit like this part here. It
like
has
that sounds very
space-like. Like,
yeah, that's like the happy version of the intro,
right? But again, the reason this stands out so high on everyone's list, it was that
element of surprise.
Like, I thought I was playing as a guy the whole time.
Right.
Samus is a woman? Like, what the heck is that? Like, imagine telling that to a
women
friend.
Women can't fight.
And you're like, yeah, Metroid's a girl. And they're like,
Metroid's a girl. And so is Zelda.
I'm like, imagine if Zelda was a girl.
1986. That's awesome.
That's a good one. Yeah, for sure.
What's next on your list, Russo?
We got Metroid's there. I got Bionic Commando.
Dude, are you and me, do we have the same brain, Russ?
Now, Bionic Commando
is my number one.
That's your number one. Dude, I will say I personally haven't beaten this game.
You get to shoot Hitler and his face explodes.
There was a good write-up I wanted to read. Let me bring this up just because it.
Dude, if you never beat Bionic Commando, Russ?
No.
Please do it. It's the best feeling ever.
So here for our last ones here, we'll read out the fun description here. Bionic Commando was initially released in Japan as Harada no Fushika. Yeah, I'm going to mess that
one
up.
Don't say
there.
That word. That's a bad word.
With the main villain being the Mushido Gremlin himself. While there are certainly some clues in the enemy designs outside of Japan, all references to the Nazis were removed. However, while Capcom did change the dictator's name to Master D for Bionic Commando, they left the pixel art unchanged. The main ending is pretty typical. The hero leaves the enemy base right as it explodes. However, before the main character, Spencer, gets helicoptered out, he has a violent showdown with Master D, killing one of the worst evils of all time. Maybe all the rage in recent games and even films, but in 1988, seeing a detailed, horrific image of his head exploding was completely unexpected.
Yes, and incredible. So that's when you have to jump off and shoot that thing right in the window.
Right. So again, you get your base blowing up, typical in most of these action games, right? Similar in Contra.
What an explosion. There's Lad Spencer himself.
He's got his bionic arm onto the helicopter. Yeah, I'm trying to see. Did I skip over
skipped over the explosion.
Oh, I did?
It's right when you shoot the plane, the copter. Go back. Because I think it happens, and then I think something else happens. Let's just hold for right here for a second.
Oh, yeah. Boom.
So what's interesting is you see that cutscene and the game's still not over.
Right. So that pulls up a cutscene and then you still have to escape.
Yeah. There's one final showdown. As you go up the, as you scroll up, there's a guy that you fought earlier that you got to fight again.
Again, this is similar to Metroid. You get the timer that it's going to, everything's going to blow up. So it gives that anticipation of, let's get the heck out of here.
Is Joe still inside?
What happened to the captain? We can't wait any longer. Are we going to escape now?
Please wait just a little longer.
Hey, what's that?
And then I guess he uses his bionic arm to like grab the copter as they're leaving.
Right. But yeah, so it shows them then hanging from the copter.
So Lad has Joe hanging.
We are now returning. And then that classic like military style 8-bit music. Battle has ended.
April 7th, 1989.
Oh, yeah.
Or is it July 4th, 1989?
Could be either. Depending on how you read that date. So yeah, he goes through, shows the boys home, safe, celebrating. The whole main mission was to rescue Joe.
Yep, Super Joe. Because it's a sequel. Sweet. Very cool. How many you got left, Russ?
Just one.
Okay, I have two. So fair I'll enough. Do my next one. I'll keep it short and sweet. Double Dragon. You get to fight your brother. You get to go in and kiss the girl.
That is true.
They punched in the gut earlier.
He punched in the gut earlier. How
punch
you
her
opened
in the
it up.
At the beginning and you kiss her at the end.
Yeah. Double Dragon's definitely a good one. you get that reveal at the end that, because you're, everything's talking about the Shadow Boss, right? Shadow Boss. You're leading up to who's the Shadow Boss. Even in Nintendo Power, they blacked out what he would look like.
Ooh,
and nice then you job. Find out it's your brother. You're like, blast it.
Surprise ending.
Surprise ending. My last one that I put on here, maybe a lot of people don't put on their list, but I thought it stood out uniquely enough, and that's Monster in My Pocket.
That was very, very close to making my list, Russ.
Fairly easy game, Capcom. You could play as Dracula or Frankenstein's monster. And you kind of do a boss rush at the end, right? The last level you're fighting all the bosses you fought through the game. So you kind of relive that. And then you're going up against Warlock here. And I thought this was pretty interesting and stood out. So you beat Warlock. You're like, yes, beat the game. Let's see this ending. And it tallies up your score and everything. And it's cool that it shows a TV, a CRT TV.
Yeah, like that. They're sitting on the floor.
With Konami as like the brand and stuff. So it says, you defeated your arch rival, the sinister Warlock. Peaceful days will now return to vampires and monsters. So at this point, I put my controller down. We beat the game. You're sitting in front of the TV watching it. It turns on. And it's Warlock. The game's not over yet.
You have to fight him on the TV.
I have returned. I was like, what? The game's not over. Are you kidding me? So that was the first time I ever got faked out with like, yeah. Oh, this isn't the ending. So it's a fairly easy battle. You're just attacking him while he's...
Doesn't he send out like some monsters out?
He sends out monsters and then he kind of has like... He I don't know how you describe it, as like a CRT TV is losing connection. He kind of gets wavy so you can't hit him. Like that. Where he's like not a clear picture and then you have to wait. Right. Give him a few hits. He'll send out a few more monsters. It's a fairly easy battle. But imagine like losing it now. It's like, oh, I put my controller down. I was going to get a snack or something.
Right.
But a few more hits and then you actually beat him. And then you'll get your actual credits and you're like, okay, now I beat the game. Because you got two more hits. That music's like anticipation.
Yeah,
like,
let's go. Anxiety inducing.
Yeah.
He scratched my face, you meanie.
TV goes to static. And now the game is complete.
Now the game is really over.
I sure hope that was the final battle. They even poke fun at it. Like, now you hear the music and you're like, all right, here's the cool music. Monster in My Pocket. Yeah.
Mm. That's right. Done. Beat it.
Do-do-do-do. Again, killer music for sure. That's right. Love some game-ending music. That should do... should get a playlist going on that.
All right, my last one. I'll keep it short and sweet. The original Ninja Turtles. You get to see Splinter turn back into a human.
which, depending on how you followed it, you're like, wait, he was never a human.
That's true. Depending on which lore you follow.
Right. So you could be confused. Because I imagine most people... Now I'm trying to think.
I remember it says, you defeated Shredder. You've saved the world.
Right. Because I was going to say, so if you watch the Ninja Turtle movies, Splinter is a rat in that. Is he a rat in the cartoon?
No, he's a human. Because remember, he's a human in the cartoon. Like going to bow and the guy sticks the knife in his shirt and he's like, oh, you can't bow. And he's like, you scum or whatever they say to him. And they kick him out and he goes to America, lives in the sewer, hangs out with the rats
and then becomes Splinter.
What's funny is I find that story is flawed. Because he's like the turtles who most recently hung out with Splinter turn into humans, but Splinter who most recently hung out with the rats turns into a rat. But hasn't Splinter just been with the turtles? So why don't the turtles turn into a human and he turns into a turtle? A flaw in the story.
There it is. Do we want to mention any honorable mentions of games?
I'm just going to say two. Kung Fu Because you get to get your girlfriend back, whose name escapes me.
Sylvia.
Sylvia. In a monster party. Because you get to Bert, this flying dinosaur monster bird thing. You get to be friends with him at the end or something.
I'll mention Bad Dudes.
Okay.
Because you beat it, so you save the president, and the president's like, let's go get some burgers.
Just like Joe Biden. Always so wanting burgers.
That was a silly one. We did ask you guys, we want to hear feedback from you guys, what you thought were some awesome NES endings that we had to talk about. So let's check that out.
What did you say? What did you say?
Springfield, let's hear from you.
All right, we'll jump over to our YouTube community page. We had one comment that Mike left. He said, love the ending to Bionic Commando. Between the final boss battle, escaping the bunker, and the place exploding as you get away, doesn't get any better.
That's what's my number one.
Yeah, definitely classic. I'd like to go back and beat it. I do have it on, I believe they did a remaster, and I have it on PS3.
Just beat the original, please. It's so good.
Well, it's a remaster of the NES one. It's not that one that's like a new imagining of Bionic Commando.
Yeah.
So it's this game, but just like better graphics, I guess. Okay. So to say. Let's see. And then,
how can it get any better than the original, Russ?
I don't know.
You can't. That's the right answer, is it can't.
So I did post this on our Facebook group page and Instagram, but maybe it was too late and no one's seen it. So I did post it on our buddies Retro Redoctopus. They have a Facebook page and a podcast. So they are pretty awesome. And I posted on there and we had a few people comment on there. Greg said Castlevania 3, which again, all the Castlevanias, pretty good endings, I will say. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Jackson says Blaster Master. Got my frog Fred back and enjoying the scenery with the wind in my hair atop of Sophie 3.
So that's one game I need to beat someday.
It's a really, really tough one on original NES because not knowing where to go, getting lost, and that's the main thing. There's no map, right?
Yes.
Kind of got to make your own mapper. I guess now someone that I'm sure has a map that you can use like as a PDF online and play the game in front of your computer. We got Joe. Joe says Bionic Commando.
I just want to say real quick before you read this, Steve okay. Van Sampson, thank you for saying this game because it should have definitely made my honorable mentions, but I even considered putting it in my top 10 because it's you're right, it's good. Anyway, go ahead.
And that is Astyanax has a great ending.
It's a long game and it has a lot of cutscenes. The marshy level is ungodly hard, but the rest of it's doable. But I love Astyanax.
Certainly a good one for sure. And we got Eric Dunbar says, my opinion, the best endings are all three Ninja Gaidens and the first Godzilla.
I've never beat Godzilla, but I've beat all three Gaidens.
Right. So I'll have to see about it. Heck, we could look it up right now. We'll show you the ending for Godzilla and see what Let's that see looks it. Like.
I'm so glad that you said Astyanax, though. I feel like Astyanax gets so overlooked on the NES.
Yeah, I mean, I streamed it not too long ago and had a good experience with it.
It's got great music. I love how big the sprites are.
Let's see. Well, this is I looked up a quick playthrough of this. 3 hours, 41 minutes.
This is Godzilla?
Of Godzilla.
Probably why I never beat it. It's a long time.
To sink in. I mean, it's probably no longer than what Mario 3 would take you, right? So what do you got? You got Mothra here you're playing as in space. Looks like you're in some spaceship. Looks like you're fighting the Death Star here. What is this?
Oh, I played this game. I played it a long way through, actually.
So you got Mothra and Godzilla just hanging out in space looking over Earth.
Wow.
It's like a little cutscene here.
Come down and take over. You know where I found this game, Russ? At a yard sale.
Yeah.
Of all places. It was a collector that had it, though.
Now, this is certainly a... I'm going to speed it up here.
War's over. Godzilla crushed the invaders from Planet X. This game took 3 hours to beat. That's crazy.
So here's 2x speed.
So I like the music better.
A little more chiptune and upbeat. So at least you get the... a good story, right?
That's right.
There's no shortness of story of what happened here.
Yeah. Right?
So
never again shall we see Ghidorah or Gigan.
Godzilla Monsters of Monsters on NES.
I have that game somewhere.
So, yeah, I tried to play it a few times. Maybe I just couldn't figure it out. So possibly could go back to that one and see. We did have a phone call we can check out.
Ooh,
Jay,
I love phone calls.
Someone left us a voicemail and also wanted to do a comment shout out as well, so we'll get to those here while we start to wrap things up here.
I keep dreaming about my dream phone.
It's for you.
Hey Jay, congratulations on hitting that gym for the past couple days. I'll try to keep this short as I can. I work midnight, so I, for the longest time, like for a year, I would get off midnight, 7 a.m. I would go to the gym, Planet Fitness by my house, and then I would, I'd work out. But then by the time I got home, it was kind of cutting into my sleep. So I stopped doing that, and then I just started jogging every night and kind of working out at home. But my new routine, and beach season's coming up, so you got to get that beach body ready.
I feel that.
I'm kind of like you. I'm not overweight, but I wasn't entirely happy with the old body here. So here, my new routine. I've been doing it for like the past 6 months. Every night we put the kids to bed. Me and my wife are up all night anyways, watching TV shows, movies. So, and I got about an hour after they go to bed that we're just watching TV shows before I have to go to work. Like I said, I work midnight, so I got about an hour. So What I've been doing the whole time we're watching shows or movies or whatever, I'm doing the weights, I'm doing, sit-ups, push-ups, the ab wheel, whatever I got, that iron gym, you put it in the doorway, do pull-ups.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm stretching. Like I said, just simple stuff, sit-ups, push-ups, mostly weights. I'm doing a lot of weights, squats, whatever I can. And then even when I get to work, I have a locker room. So I'm in the locker room. I know it sounds weird, but nobody else is in there. It's midnight.
Right.
So I got the whole locker room to myself. And I started off with 20 push-ups, and then I would do 25. And then, a couple weeks later, I go to 30.
Right.
So now
that's
doing
what I was telling you, Russ.
And then when I get there, and then I'll come back later on at night, I'll do another 50. So I'm saying
I'm trying
to consistently work out. It's been working out for me the past couple months. But all I want to say is hopefully by this summer, Jay gets that beach body.
There we go.
Going it off.
Dad goals. Here we go.
All right, guys. Bye.
Thanks, man. Love the Rocky music, too.
Great, great phone call. Yeah, I mean, we were discussing this on our Warp Pipe Wednesday a few times about getting back in shape, and it's good to get a routine going. You got that TV time, and you're like, well, I'm watching TV instead of just sitting on the couch. Let me multitask.
That's right. Exactly. I love that, and that takes a lot of dedication. It's not easy to want to, work out when you're watching TV with your wife, spending time with her, It's like, that's good, man. Good for you. Good after it. It sounds like I got some catching up to do. If you're doing 50 push-ups in a row, I could do that about 8 months ago. Now I'm at 25. So got some work to do. I'll get there. But thanks for the encouragement. Thanks for the call.
And perfect. Yeah. If you guys want to call in and leave a message. Or
tell us your name also, because I don't think we caught his name, did we?
Yeah. I don't think it was quick.
So when you call us, say, hey, this is Jay, or Russ or whoever you are, you know. Obviously that's us.
Tell us who you are. Phone number is 949-682-9277. It's on our website, every description, so it should be easy enough to find on our Facebook and all that. 949-682-WARP. And you can leave us a message. We have a quick shout out to someone who commented on our last video.
Comment shout out.
What did they say?
So we got The Dirt Gaming said, great topic this week, guys. I never get around to commenting, but a few good games that didn't get mentioned are Double Dragon Gaiden, Alois Awakening, Garbage Pail Kids, and AVGN 1 and 2. These are new modern games. If you missed last week's episode, we were talking about new games that came out.
Well, like modern retro games, kind of.
Right. What did I say? New modern.
New modern.
That's
a double, double negative, double positive.
New retro games. So I've beaten Alois Awakening, which was fantastic, and they came out with a second one of that, so I need to complete that.
I want that Garbage Pail Kid game. I know you have that.
And I purchased that. The Garbage Pail Kids came out on NES, which is great. And I played both of the AVGN games. They're just like a Mega Man style platformer. Fantastic. And I haven't purchased Double Dragon Gaiden yet, but they're almost like chibi characters. It kind of looks like Mighty Final Fight the way they did it. So I'm excited to get that one.
Cool.
And I don't know if we mentioned it, but there's a new Contra too. That's getting remade, original concert they're redoing. So appreciate the comment. And
comment. So that way you get shouted out next week.
Right. Leave your comments. If you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening, then call in. There's two ways to interact.
That's right.
Gonna give a quick shout out to our Patreon supporters. We got Dan and Nicole's Treasures Untold, Joe Sheevy, Trace Livingood, Samantha Chang, Rodney Torres, Retroholic 16, and Austin Mills for supporting the podcast and my live streams. I live stream every Wednesday on my YouTube channel if you guys want to swing over there and see some video game action.
Get your name on the list so we can say your name too. And I'll point to it like I always do.
Check it out on patreon.com/RussLyman. You can support the show. Check us out on the web, theweeklywarppipe.com. We got all the episodes there. So if you miss an episode, you can head there and see what episodes are on there. We got new episodes every Wednesday and Saturday. 7 a.m. is when they drop. That's it, Jay.
Russ, when's our 2-year anniversary?
I'll have to look it up when we start it, because I forgot when you came to me about it. We didn't start in January. No. I think it was like midway or something.
Are we getting close, though? Is it like April or May?
You want me to look up when we uploaded our first episode?
I'm just curious.
I think we got a bit to go for 2 years. Let's see.
It's crazy that we've done this more than a year, though. I talk to Russ every week for several hours.
And we haven't missed any episodes either. All right, let's scroll.
The thumbnails definitely got better after I finally sent you pictures.
I know. I can finally use pictures of Jay. Let's see. Where is our episode 1? Fashion. Here we go. This was uploaded. It doesn't give me a date. It just says 1 year ago.
Weird.
I want the exact date.
Is it under more?
One year ago. Did I choose the wrong system growing up? Weekly Warpipe podcast. Well, I don't know. It says it's 1 year ago, so it's coming up.
Oh, right there. April 16th, 2022.
Oh, there it is. Yes.
So April. Christ. So we're not far, dude, from 2 years of doing this?
2 years.
That's crazy. That is insane. Where does time go?
And this is how we used to format the episodes here. I'd have a CRT TV screen with like gameplay footage, which took me forever to edit.
Yeah, poor Russ.
So it looks cool, but this way, I mean, also then I didn't know how many people are physically watching us. If you're just listening, you're not seeing any of this stuff.
That's right.
So doing it here on StreamYard, it's just easier to kind of get this live edit with the camera here, and I can Google some gameplay footage if we're talking about it, and it's just easier editing for me because I got to do all the editing, all
Russ's
the thumbnails.
Workhorse here. I'm riding the horse.
I'm glad Jay's here to be along and we could chat every week.
It's fun.
Sweet, guys. Well, appreciate you guys hanging out, listening to us every week, listening to the end here. You guys rock. As always, I'm Russ Lyman. Keep your world fun bit by bit.